Good morning again. Wasn't that great? I love seeing kids get dedicated to God like that. This morning, welcome to our first episode of several weeks of our Table Talk series, where we're literally going to sit around a table and have some interviews, some conversation that'll most likely be very open and honest, sometimes candid as we go through this. Tables, as simple of a design as they may have always been a part of human connection in some form or another. I know in our home, some of the most memorable conversations that I've had with my kids or with my family have been around our dinner table. And whether that's been just at dinner time as we're sitting around having casual conversation, or whether it's been over the shoulder of one of the kids doing their homework, or even when we've had to pull out extra chairs and we have friends or extended family for a special event or you know, Easter like we just had, where you have extra people to have those connections you don't have day in and day out. It happens around the table. And so we're going to use the table through this series to have these conversations. I was talking to someone just this week who just received, as an adult, the dining room table and chairs from their parents that they grew up sitting around. And they were so touched and blessed to have the very table that they have all these memories, to now have their own kids sitting around this table day in and day out to have new memories and to add on to that. There was something very symbolic about the table itself with regards to their family. And so there is an importance on the family. And this interview series that we're going to do, we're going to have members of our pastoral team interview, I guess, and lead conversations, honest conversations with different people from our congregation. So people that you might say hi to them every week, you might be brushing shoulders with them Sunday morning, but you might not know their story and what it is about what's going on in their life. In fact, it might be somebody you're sitting next to right now. What we're doing this morning is just drawing names out of hat. You might be interviewed this morning. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that to you. There's a few people. I'm out of here. But it will be people from a congregation that you've probably seen the face of, and we're going to get to know people as we go through this series. Our focus each week is going to kind of revolve around the word generosity, being generous as it relates to our gifts, being generous as it relates to time, generosity as it relates, of course, to our finances and our giving and that sort of thing. Our core scripture that's going to kind of thread all these table talk conversations together is this, 2 Corinthians 9:11. It says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So this morning, we're going to sit around this table, and I'm going to call up a couple guys that you may have seen around. You may know, you may not know, you may have never heard of them ever before in your life. But please give a warm welcome to Pastor Vince and Pastor Brad to come and join me up here. All right. Welcome. Have a seat. Thanks for coming over.
Appreciate that, buddy.
Did you guys bring
anything?
It's
a beautiful place you got here.
No snacks, no...
No, I ate them on the way over.
Okay, that sounds about right. All right, let's start with simply introducing ourselves. We won't make any assumptions that just because we're wearing a lanyard or we're serving somewhere or on staff that people know exactly who we are. My name is Mark. I am the children's pastor here. I've been the children's pastor at Calvary for 15 years. My wife and I, we've actually attended Calvary for longer than that, even before we had kids, and our kids are now, well, some of them are grown. We've got three kids, Tyron, who is 22, Trice, who's 20, and Leyland, who is 11. And Tyron is in school and working and also involved with a church plant in Surrey. So he's doing, I love this, he's doing kids ministry, helping out with that church plant. Trice has come back this year from doing a long stint with YWAM and ministering with them, and is now, again, still serving in kids' ministry here. And my daughter, who is 11 years old, but named Leyland, I got that backwards in the first service, She was named 11 and Leyland years old.
Stranger Things.
She is in kids ministry, being taught by her own brother. So it's kids ministry, kids ministry, kids ministry. And so that's kind of who I am. Let's go next.
I'll go next. I'm Brad Fennell. I am the student ministries pastor here, and I've been in that role for about 2 years. I love it. I get to work. All right. I love working with that age group. I love working with teenagers. They have so many questions, and I love helping them wrestle through some of these things that come up as they're navigating life and faith and everything else as they're becoming young adults. And then I also get to spend time working with young adults as well, and I really enjoy that. And before that, I've been involved in student ministry since 2010 and also involved in the performing arts ministry here at the church since around that time as well. And I also helped Pastor Steve in executing services on Sunday mornings, so looking into media and all the different elements, helping them all come together on Sundays. I started attending here when I was 6 years old, and my next-door neighbor invited me to church for the first time. And our whole family attends here, so that's all the result of one little kid inviting us to church, so that's pretty awesome. And, yeah, I haven't seen him in probably 20 years, but his name's Sheldon, and he's awesome. So if you're watching, thank you. And my wife and I got married here a little over 3 years ago. She's been attending here for about 4 years now, and we just had our first little girl, Raylan, who was born 2.5 months ago, and she'll be dedicated actually in the 12 o'clock service, so stick around for that.
Oh, man, you've been busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Underachiever.
My name is Vince. I've been one of the pastors. I've been on staff here. I just started my 29th year on staff here. So I'm told that if I waited out long enough, I get a clock with my name etched in it. I'm super jazzed about that.
That's at 50 years, though.
I can make it. I told myself the Bishop McDonald made it to 40, so I can make it to 41 just so I can call him a quitter. So been amazing. Been at Calvary over 30 years. My wife has been here for forever, like 40 years or something like that. We have 4 children. We were going to have 3, but we decided that we just make amazing children. And so we have 4 stellar kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, 18 through 11, kicking butt, taking names. It's a good life. As far as things around the church that I do, I try to do as little as possible. I drink a lot of coffee. I weddings, I go to the hospital, hang out in groups, and I drink coffee. And then we get some things organized, and then we drink coffee. I drink a lot of coffee, so it is what it is. Loving the Lord, connecting people, loving the people, doing the thing. That's it. Shabam!
Speaking of tables again, this past week, unrelated to this, my boys didn't know I was going to be doing this up here. We were sitting around the table, the three of us, and kind of the sun was coming in on one of those rare days. And we noticed like markings on the table, and we started to investigate all the reflections on the table and started to analyze everything. So on one side, there's all these scuff marks where we used to clamp on this attachable chair that Leyland sat in, and all the divots from her poking forks there. And then over here is a saw mark, which no one will own up to, but is clearly a saw mark. And then, but then we were looking on the table surface itself and saw like etched in, not like you had to get the light just right, but you could see words written, and you realize that the boys sitting around doing their homework is like permanently into this table. And we saw one in particular, Tyron, we remembered the moment. He's describing it to us. He goes, I remember that. I had to create my own country and map it out. So he drew this whole map of Tyrontario, is what he called his country. And so you could see that was the biggest word on the table, Tyrontario, across the table, which I mind so much less than the giant Sharpie trice in our car earlier than that. And but, yeah, they have all these memories at the table. So we'll keep this first question light. I don't know if you guys have something memorable that has either happened or taken place, or just this flicker of a memory from either your family around the table or even your own childhood around a table?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this question, I remembered when Melissa and I first met, so a lot of time was spent around the table. But in fact, the very first day we met, we were set up by her Uncle Darwin and Auntie Sandy, who also attend here. And they took us out to White Spot. So we sat around the table at White Spot. And it was a great time, but it's amazing that we ended up together because Uncle Darwin shared this very delightful story about how he had his earwax drained from his ear earlier that day. And so somehow, by the grace of God, we got together after that.
That is a memory.
That's kicking romance up a level there, Brad. Your kung fu is strong, my friend. Table, funny, you know, often monumental things happen around a table. I know this week past, Nettie Funk, she just had her 90th birthday, likely around a table, right, Nettie? But all these fun things that happen around tables, I'll talk some family stuff, but some friend-related things. Prior to children, so my wife, Deb, is a nurse. She was a nurse at Burnaby General and now at Surrey Memorial. And so she would be working some Sundays. And so when Christmas would happen or these kind of holiday things, she would work in Sundays, working Christmas, and it would turn out that Christmas would come out and we're like newly married and I'm like all by myself. I'm like, this sucks. And so I'd go to like a movies and that sort of things. And I got an invite from Kurt, I think he's up in the media booth, and Heather. This is like pre-children. We would go hang out and have Christmas breakfast around their table. They would invite us to invite me. I don't know if it was just a thing not with Deb or I don't know what it was, but anyways, they must really just enjoy my company. It was around their table. We'd have this stellar Christmas breakfast, and we still do that not to this day, but on Christmas days. So it's been 20 plus years of Christmas together, Christmas morning around a table, having someone make you an amazing breakfast. So amazing things happen around tables.
And was it intended to be this long or just that one time? She doesn't want to answer. I had this memory in the first service that I didn't come with, but I remember sitting around the table. You know how sometimes you're sitting there with the family, which is hard enough to get everybody at the table at the same time, especially as kids get older, and sometimes you eat, the food is gone, everyone gets up and scatters. This one time, I was a teenager, and the family ate our dinner, and food was done, but nobody moved. And it was just one of those moments where everyone just was chill at the table and the conversation kept going and we're ribbing each other and doing funny things. And I said something to my dad about my dad, I'm not sure, and he's just with his glass of water. And he douses me. Indoor water, like, you know, I would have gotten trouble for that. And I sat there dripping off my face and I went, and did it right back. And that turned into a 30-minute indoor water fight with the whole family. That was an hour of cleanup. But I remember just like that moment where my parents let their guard down and it just didn't matter that we were indoors. We had this awesome moment that I'm still talking about to this day that is never happening at my house. As we gather here today and we think about generosity being sort of the overarching point of our conversations, I know each and every one of us are in different ministries or departments at the church, as much as they might overlap with each other. We all have different experiences. And we also probably have a list of people who have gone above and beyond in generosity with their time. But I wonder if there's a name or a name or two that stands out that you have a story of or somebody that you can tell us how they've shown, not just shown up for their volunteer position, but they've shown generosity in what they do.
Yeah, I'll jump in on this one straight away. It's funny, I was mentioned someone earlier this morning who I'll get to, but we had a meeting in between services, Wally Lamb, who is a small group leader. He's a lead usher, and you probably ate his pancakes on Good Friday morning with the teams that he puts together, and he's part of our night shift team getting the bread together. Above and beyond, a generous spirit, generous soul, love this guy. But I didn't want to talk about that. As amazing as Wally is, I wanted to throw a shout out to Donna Kaler. this morning. If you enjoyed coffee or tea or a glass of water this morning, I believe her hospitality team was the first one through this morning who prepped coffee. And then she goes on second Mondays, and she leads a small group of women on second Monday evenings, the Mosaic Ladies Group. She is here in the week doing stuff with Sunday school, making sure that all our attendance records, everything is in straight, messaging out kids. And she is just like an amazing woman who is so generous with her time. When we have like supplies and things that need to get, you know, purchased and whatnot, she, like, I'll do it. I'll do those Costco runs and makes all sorts of stuff happening just because she loves the Lord and she loves giving of herself. She's a generous woman. A shout out to those people. Donna, Wally, love you guys.
Yeah, it is hard to just pick one person because there's so many people who are involved and so dedicated in so many different areas. And I know, I'll just say first that there's so many students in from grade six through young adults who are involved every Sunday, whether with Mark or in the media booth or even teaching students who are younger than them in Ruckus. There's so many of them that are involved there. A lot of them that are involved on Friday night helping make our youth service run every week. We have so many students who are passionate about being involved in church. It's such an amazing thing to see as they grow and discover their gifts that way. But to single out one specific person this morning, it is difficult, but the first person that comes to my mind is Tanis, who's actually right now in Ruckus upstairs. She's teaching up there, and she teaches almost every week or oversees it every week. She, if you don't know Tanis, she's getting married to Shin later on this year. So Shin Chung is the guy, one of the guys who leads worship up here on Sunday mornings. And she came forward as someone that wanted to just came to this church and said, I love students and I want to be involved. And she started getting involved on Friday nights. And then in September, we talked about bringing her on to head up our whole Sunday morning junior youth service up there. So she's been running that, scheduling people, recruiting volunteers, and teaching up there as well. And she's just been a huge blessing, not only to myself and my family, but to the students of this church by being so willing to be up there, teaching them, guiding them, leading them, and loving those students. So she deserves a huge shout out.
Nice. We all have the privilege of having these people who just invest in the different ministries at our church, and it is hard to pick just one. I've got some people who volunteer in kids ministry on Sunday mornings that are down there for three services in a row almost every single Sunday, and then they get certain breaks to come to church and to fellowship with other people, and the summer's off and whatnot. But almost year round, all three services, they're down there serving. And I'm touched every year as VBS comes close, which is coming up sooner than you'd think. The number of people who come out of the woodwork who can't be involved all year but are like, this is an important week, and others who literally book vacation time from their real job to help out at VBS. And it, like, the generosity shown there blows my mind every time. But the person I think I want to mention this morning, who is most likely not going to be here this morning because she was mother of the groom yesterday, and so I hope she's resting. But Hunter Darish, for those of you who know the Darish family, Hunter got married yesterday, and his mom, Elizabeth, has been in... Yeah. She has been involved in a variety of things, but she's been dedicated and on rotation volunteering in the nursery longer than I think I've attended this church. And she is one of those people that even when she's not scheduled, if I have somebody who just doesn't show up, and I'll wander upstairs and she'll see me and go, need me? And she'll just jump in whether it's her rotation or not. And she has been around for such a long time, so committed, has valuable advice with regards to babies. And she also shows up if there's a baby shower or a wedding shower or anything where support can be shown, Elizabeth is there. So that's generosity that I've seen in, awesome. In a volunteer. Yeah. You saw in the video just before we started here, a video with one of our board members, Kurt Roman, talking about the vision offering coming up. And so we've spent a lot of our time talking about being generous with one's time, but let's take a second since that video came up as well. to talk about the vision offering and what that even is. Would you mind taking a second, for those unfamiliar with why we do, and what the vision offering is, what it's all about?
Sure. We decided a few years back to put our efforts for the vision offering to knock down some larger capital projects, big things that happen that need to happen at the church. We used to do like the last Sunday of every month, we'll put a little bit away, a little bit away. But there's the big capital projects are really tricky. You can't kind of nickel and dime them. And so often these large projects where it's like, we need 50 grand to do this, we need 30 grand to do that. We take the collection of this vision offering weekend and put it together, and we've raised $80,000, $100,000, like where we can knock down some big projects. Whether it's where we have our big retrofit on the HVAC, or it was amazing when our weird washrooms got like nice. And so when that kind of thing, those bigger capital projects, you just can't. Well, we got an extra this week. Let's put up a new tile in the bathroom. It's you got
one tile at a time.
Yeah, these big projects. And so the vision offering is when we all rally around with generosity, and everybody's at different levels of what that means for them. One person giving $100 is like a sacrifice of sacrifices. Other people are like a grand. Some people can write a $10,000 check and not miss it. And so based on varying level, we're able to take all of this together and do some pretty cool kick butt stuff. So yeah, that's the vision offering.
And generosity being on the staff side of things, I don't know the details, but the generosity is shown enormously when we hear what has happened and how people have come out of the woodwork to give. It's awesome. And we try and make a real point of making this not just, you know, the adults who show up on the vision offering Sundays and give, put it in the offering bucket, but we try and make it a church-wide thing. I'll talk about the kids a little bit in a second, but Brad, I know you do some unique things with the youth and the young adults, and tell us about that with regard to the vision offering.
Yeah, so like as Mark said, when we started the vision offering, we wanted to get the whole church involved, not just the adults, but we wanted everybody to feel like they were a part of this. So a couple of years ago, we got together with some of our students, and I really wanted them to come up with an idea, not just me saying, this is what you're doing. And they came back with, let's do a car wash. And that's something that we've done the last 2 years, and we're doing it again this year. So on May 25th, from 12 to 4 p.m., you can come and get your car washed, get it vacuumed out, a leader will be there to inspect it to make sure it's done properly. But all the students come out, and then they get signs out and jump around and try and get traffic in from the street to come and get their car washed, and they get very, very excited about it, because I always say, if we can raise enough money, you can do something horrible to me. A couple of years ago, they waxed my legs. I'm dedicated to these students, I'll tell
you. You didn't need to continue that, though. It should have been just that one choice.
It was so smooth after. It just really liked it. And I was just up there in the first service talking about it with some of the students, and they started yelling out many different things that they want me to do this year. So there's no shortage of things, that embarrassing things they can have me do. But they get very excited about it. They get very excited about the money that we raise. They're very excited to donate that to the vision offering. A lot of them will end up baking treats and selling them there as well. And then later on Sunday morning, that vision offering Sunday, they'll be selling them as well. So May 25th, at 12 p.m. to 4, bring your car out, bring your neighbor's car out, get them to bring it out. Don't bring their car out for them. That could be awkward. And get your car washed and support the vision offering and support our students as well.
Awesome. We want even the kids at the youngest age to understand giving. So from Sunday to Sunday, we encourage giving through offering, and we sometimes have these teaching moments to talk about tithes. And so they have the ability to give every Sunday morning. But during the vision offering time, we actually start a few Sundays prior to that, and we set up this scale. You've probably seen similar scales, like when you walk into Walmart and they're doing a fundraiser, and it's boys versus girls to raise money. And so we do that kind of thing, literally have a boys bucket and a girls bucket on a teetering scale to see who can raise more money in the weeks leading up to our vision offering. And they get really into it. They get really excited about it, and it's funny how you know, 1 week it's all girls, 1 week it's all boys, and what's really interesting is how there's only an elite few of them that piece together that if they put tons and tons of only nickels, that they can win this scale race, versus the other ones who are like, more money and putting in $5 bills, and they're still losing. So we had to change the rules, and we do two tallies, one by weight and one by dollar amount. But they really go all out. And what touches me the most with regards to the word generosity, and sometimes it happens for no reason, just in the middle of the school year this will happen, but especially during vision offering time where you see them come with like a bucket of change and money, and their parents explain to me that they are into this. It's not even just about winning, but they see the heart of why we're giving, and they want to give everything they've got. They've broken every piggy bank. They've gone through couch cushions and the car's ashtray and everything they could find to bring coins in for the vision offering. And I think of the Bible story of the widow's mite, where she only gave a single coin, but she gave all she could give. And so that is real generosity. It's not the amount. It's the sacrificial level of what that is. And some of these kids just take that so truly to heart that they're robbing their siblings to give. We're all giving. We're all going to do it and bring in every coin. Parents are rolling their eyes. But it's awesome to see them giving. I want to backtrack a little bit because of what we talked mostly about this morning, which is generosity with regards to time and having people get involved. And it just came to my thoughts that there possibly could be people who are just like, I'm in. I didn't know I could be involved. I'm kind of new. So before we get into the whys and hows, Brad, maybe you could quickly explain just first step. How does somebody even get the chance to volunteer or be a part of something?
Okay, well, first of all, we have many, many opportunities that we want to provide for anybody an opportunity to serve in whatever area they feel that they're gifted in or called to. If you have any questions or you want to explore that, the first thing to do is just take out the Next Steps card. It's in the seat pocket, and it's very simple. Just put your name and email on there, and that will contact you next week. And there's also a list of the different areas where you might want to volunteer. For example, students is on there. So if you'd like to volunteer with the students and receive your very own Root Youth hoodie for volunteering with the students, you can fill
that
out
right now. Shameless, Brad.
I know.
Shameless.
It's the best place to be.
Exploiting this opportunity.
It's the best place to volunteer, just trust me. The other opportunity you have as well, starting up for our spring semester of Starting Point Growth Track starts next week. At 9 a.m., the week four class covers all things about spiritual gifts and how to volunteer and all that as well. So those are the two ways. If you just have questions and you're interested in what your next steps are, you can fill one of these out, and you can also register for Starting Point and take that class as well.
Now that's kind of how, like, the first steps of how you can be involved, but I don't want anyone to think that, you know, sometimes it just feels like, well, you know, somebody's got to do it or we have these needs, but that's not really the reason.
There's like needs everywhere, but it's not the point particularly. In terms of like the generosity, it does something to a person when they sacrificially take their time and get it off of themselves and put it onto something where there is little to no return. It's just sacrificial. It changes a person on the inside. And so we're so guarded to make sure it's not like people think, oh, slot A, we need four people for slot A. Please come to slot A. It's like, you know, slot A, it's going to happen, whatever, but there's beyond all that, the generosity of giving of yourself, and there's schedules and all these sorts of things, but it's not about the schedules. The community that comes around, you are needed, and not like we're sitting here going, oh, it's so needy, it's so needy. I want to make sure to communicate and instill within everybody that you are valued, you have a purpose, you have gifts, you have God-given abilities. And in what the scripture talks about as far as like, you know, the head, you know, not saying to the foot, I have no need of you. You need that person. They need me. We need you. You need them. And that interconnected part of you have something giftings that someone else needs. And so coming into a service opportunity is, it's not like, oh, I guess I need to fill in a slot. It's like you have things that you need to pass on and things that need to get passed on to you, and everybody working together makes all of that happen. And so you're like, oh, I'm so busy. It's like, no, you're not. You're not busy. We're all busy. Like, you just you carve out time or you don't. But if unless you have a vision for how valuable you are, I'm wasting my words. You are needed, you are valuable, and your gifts are not for you. They're for somebody else. So there you go.
Yeah. Before we close this morning, I thought of this kind of funny example for exactly what Pastor Vince is talking about right there. When I was little, growing up in our home, we went to this really tiny church, and sort of their little extra things would be like a church picnic at a park or a church potluck in the basement of the church. And I remember these potluck dinners a lot. You'd get there and there'd be, you know, a mile-long table with all this food. But the lead-up to that potluck dinner was, you know, my sisters and I, we weren't sitting there going, I wonder if the hot wings are going to be there. I wonder if that potato salad is going to be there. All we were talking about at our home was, what's our family bringing? What's mom making? Like, what are we coming with? What are we showing up with? And the mile-long table of food was the bonus that you realized afterwards. And so at home, we were talking about, what are we bringing? This is going to be, and it would be some elaborate dish that mom would put together, and we would all take there. And I think that's kind of what serving at church and being a part of a ministry really is. We're coming to the Lord with our best. You know, a lot of people come to church to receive, and they leave and talk about whether they received something or they didn't. You're going to receive as much as you bring, and the more you bring, what you receive exceeds what you brought. Did that make sense? We brought one green Jell-O. We left with five full tummies, right? And so that's generous giving, is bringing your best to the Lord. And typically, your interests and your gifts are going to match your passions and what makes you the happiest. So take a look at that orange card and see where you can give. I'm going to pray before we go. So let's just close our eyes. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much this morning that we have the privilege of gathering together, worshiping together, talking around a table this morning, and just get into the subject of generosity. God, we thank you for the opportunity to serve, to show generosity through our gifts. God, we thank you for the opportunity to show generosity through our time, and of course, through our giving. God, I pray for every individual here this morning who's maybe coming to church and soaking it up and leaving, God, that the one thing that would resonate in each of our hearts this morning would be, how can we be generous when it comes to serving? How can we be generous when it comes to bringing our first fruits and our green Jell-O to you? God, we pray that we would all leave considering those things. In Jesus' name, amen.